Thank you, Janice. So yeah, I'm going to talk about the AMIA 10x10 course, which actually, well, the first iteration of it started really as a clinical informatics course, and I'll talk about how it's kind of weaved some public health into it, and I'll explain what this program is. Most of us at this conference didn't just discover health IT when the stimulus bill came out. We've been working in this area for quite some time. There's a lot of impediments and challenges that are familiar to all of us. So in clinical settings and by extension public health settings, there's a variety of barriers. The whole cost and financing issue, particularly in the clinical side in small practices where the benefits don't accrue to those who pay, synchronizing IT with clinical workflow, the lack of interoperability or the lack of usage of interoperability standards and terminology, some of the privacy and confidentiality issues, and an issue that I raised and others have been talking about for quite some time is it's not just going to be dropping computers into hospitals, physician offices, public health departments, and so forth. It's also going to take people who understand informatics and what informatics is about, i.e., the use of information to improve healthcare, public health. To make it happen. And the stimulus bill actually addresses that issue. If you open up that 1,000-page PDF and search on the string 3016, you'll come to section 3016 that talks about health IT workforce. So there have been that and other means that have looked at the importance of this issue. Groups like AMIA and AHIMA have been having workshops and summits and things like that. There are many efforts developing competencies. Some of us in this room have been involved in those, and there has been this growth of degree and fellowship programs. One of the issues that came up back around 2005, some of you know Charles Safran, who previously was the president of AMIA when AMIA had elected presidents. Actually, tomorrow you'll have the opportunity to hear from Ted Shortliff, who's the current president of AMIA. Looking at clinical settings, found that one of the reasons for the lack of penetration of informatics was the lack of knowledge on the part of the clinical staff and the connection. So he made this call. It actually got published in a research letter in JAMA saying that we should have one physician and one nurse in each hospital who knows something about informatics. And there's about 6,000 hospitals in the U.S., but if you fudge your math a little, that's about 5,000 times two, or about 10,000. And so he called for this training, and AMIA actually was looking around at some vendors that do distance learning, and they were all exorbitantly expensive. And we already had in our graduate program at Oregon Health and Science University an introductory course, actually, that I taught that was online. And so I said to AMIA, well, why don't we just take this course and we could literally be up and running. The course already exists. In fact, within a few months of conceiving the idea, we were actually enrolling our first cohort of students. And so we also had to come up with a name, and I looked at this 10,000, and this was 2005, so 2010 was a long way ways. So 10,000 by 2010. And the initial version was offered in 2005. The one difference from our online graduate course is that we added an addition in-person session at the end, so people would actually come together and get to know the people that they had been working with and maybe hear some other experts. And that part of it has been quite popular. And we have done a number of evaluations, and the offerings have been well received. Because AMIA is a professional association that serves all of its members, it was implemented as a non-exclusive thing so other people could propose 10 by 10 courses, and a number of other institutions have come forward. Initially in the clinical informatics area, but now, as you may know, there is one course that is focused on public health informatics coming from the University of Utah. So this is the curriculum of the 10 by 10 course. If you at all work in informatics, none of these topics here will surprise you. Again, there is a bit of a clinical focus here, but I would actually argue that a lot of this is very pertinent to public health, electronic health records, standards, privacy, use of clinical data, information retrieval, searching for knowledge, telemedicine, even bioinformatics has aspects that are pertinent to public health and organizational and management issues. Some logistics about the teaching, if you're interested. There's actually a demo version. I probably should have put the URL up. I can provide it to anyone who wants it, but you can actually go in and look at a couple of the units. We make a lot of use, which a lot of distance learning does these days, of voice over PowerPoint. It's actually quite effective. We've actually been doing distance learning for 10 years, and we initially did voice over PowerPoint because that was the only kind of media you could deliver over dial-up modems. But even in this era of broadband, there's really no need to show a person's talking head, and in fact, the voice over PowerPoint is quite nicely. In fact, we actually pull out we actually use Flash, so we pull out the MP3 file. People can actually download it. A lot of people put it on their iPods and things like that. At least the narration part. But we also make use of threaded discussions. Distance learning is not distant, remote, unconnected learning. In fact, the biggest challenge of distance learning is actually dealing with the large numbers of people in the online discussion and sort of keeping the discussion going, keeping people from flaming, things like that. So I post some discussion questions, but then the students always come up with fascinating things. I was just upstairs in my room this morning, this big thread going on open source and trying to, dispel some notions, various aspects of it. We do make use of traditional readings, and we also make use of self-assessment, multiple choice quizzes. In the 10 by 10 course, they do this in-person session that's usually associated with an AMIA meeting, although we have developed 10 by 10 offshoots for other organizations and doing it at their meeting. For example, there's one that's going on now in partnership with the American College of Emergency Physicians. There's another one we did last year with the Senior Nursing Executive Leadership of the Mayo Clinic. And so you can kind of tailor it. We also have them do a course project, which is nothing substantial, but ask them to go into some sort of setting and do an environmental scan and to look at something they're doing that could potentially be improved with the informatics that you've learned about, and people write up a lot of interesting projects. Because the course is implemented as continuing education, there's no grading, so there's no final exam or anything, but it turns out that a lot of people who do start in 10 by 10 want to go on to other graduate study in informatics. We've actually found that about 15% of people who do the 10 by 10 course will actually enroll in our program. And because the 10 by 10 course is derived from that introductory course, they get automatic credit for that. But to do that, they need to take this optional final exam. Also, some people can only get reimbursement from employers with an official university transcript. So they enroll, they take the final exam just so they can get a grade and a transcript and get reimbursed for the tuition. Some of you in this room know that AMIA was awarded a cooperative agreement from CDC a couple years ago. Called the Partnership to Enhance Public Health Informatics. All of the, at the time, there were no public health informatics courses, so there were three, at the time, clinical informatics 10 by 10 courses, and all of us were told that we could have additional public health students funded by CDC in the course, but we had to adapt the course to make it worthwhile, to bring in some element of public health. And so the grant from AMIA actually paid the tuition, although not the travel, which tends to be an issue. One thing, one fact I've learned through all this is that hospitals are a little more willing to send people off to meetings than public health departments, unfortunately. But in any case, a number of people managed to get there. So our approach was to recruit some public health informaticians. There's almost a little kind of incestuousness going on in this panel because two of them happen to be sitting here and the third one didn't do it because she's busy working on her dissertation. But in any case, serving as co-faculty and having them moderate the discussion, adding some public health specific questions in that first offering, and then really developing a new unit. And I should also say that J.A. mentioned that she works at Oregon Health and Science University because she actually teaches a full course in public health informatics in our graduate program. So in this public health informatics unit that we added, you see the names. The other, the third person to take part was Roland Gamache. As you can see, we added a lot of things that, actually topics that we actually covered in other aspects of the course, but really focused specifically on public health informatics. And we've actually developed this additional unit, which we actually now make available as an optional unit to non-public health people. So it's just kind of sitting there when they take the course. So if they're interested in public health, they can do that. And just in terms of the numbers, you remember I told you that 10 by 10 stands for 10,000 trained by 2010. We haven't quite gotten to 10,000, but I imagine by 2010 we'll get to 1,000. And so people might ask, well, is that a failure? And I don't really think so. I mean, it's really brought a lot of people into the field. It's educated a lot of people. And certainly we have more capacity. One of the while distance learning, again, is not just sort of enrolling people and turning on a course that they don't interact with faculty, but it is pretty scalable and could actually be scaled quite a bit more if really like 10,000 people were to show up. Just in terms of, you see the numbers here, so OHSU has had the lion's share of the graduates, 643. There's another 120 people right now going through the course, so that number will go up. You see the other programs that have had completed cohorts, and then you'll see other programs such as the Utah one in there when I update this slide at the end of the AMIA meeting this year. Just in terms of the numbers from the CDC grant, it has been a pretty substantial number that have gone through funded by that grant. So there is a lot of public health involvement in the 10 by 10 program. I've mentioned we've had partnerships with other entities. I've already mentioned the Mayo Clinic. We did one with the California Healthcare Foundation. The latter one is kind of interesting. There's a group in Singapore. Actually, Singapore has a national electronic health record initiative going on. Some of you may know Casey Loon, who's a well-known informatician. He was actually president of the International Medical Informatics Association. We did this offering there. We're actually doing a second one. It's been funded by their Ministry of Health, and we have an in-person session, and I just have to end up going to Singapore to participate in that session, which is actually kind of fun. So I mentioned we have another 128 or so in the pipeline, plus some of these other new courses, including the University of Utah one. Something I'm also proud of is that we have, it's always kind of fun when something you've created has been translated to another language. And there's a pediatrician at Hospital Italiano in Buenos Aires named Paula Otero, who actually, with her group, they have an incredible clinical informatics infrastructure at this hospital. It's one of the largest teaching hospitals in Buenos Aires, and they've actually translated the 10 by 10 course into Spanish and have had another 400 people go through it, and delivered it all over Latin America, mainly to Argentina, but pretty much almost everywhere else as well. I just have to mention that some politicians have picked up on this, and Congressman David Wu, who happens to be my congressman, and I managed to convince that the issue of health IT workforce was important, introduced in the last Congress the 10,000 Trained by 2010 Act, which actually passed the House, but like most health IT in the last session of Congress, not the current one, it got gummed up in the Senate, so it never passed. It has been reintroduced and repassed in the House, and even some elements of it have been incorporated into the stimulus package. So we're also seeing action on the federal level. So just in conclusion, there's a great need for public health professionals to learn about informatics and be informed users and consumers of systems, and there needs to be an emerging cadre, which we see with meetings like FIN, of public health informaticians to provide leadership. And hopefully collaborate with those of us from other branches of informatics. I probably more rightly would describe myself in clinical informatics, but I think there's a lot that we can all learn from each other. And then I just want to mention out that many of you have been involved in distance learning efforts. It's very scalable, but you actually can't deny the human side of it. So. Those things are still important as well. So I think that's all I wanted to say, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Anyone have any questions for Bill?
Yeah, Denise. I will actually turn to my public health informatics experts because they actually created that content.
Yeah, most of the, Denise, Roland and I sat down and we talked through some of the original competency efforts that, you know, came out of Patrick's work, because we were looking more at like the frontline kinds of people. So we were looking at some of the applied parts of that. So we didn't do a direct one-to-one mapping, but we kind of use that as our touchstone to go back to make sure that we were kind of on the track. And J.A.'s, I haven't actually seen her part of the presentation, so, but I think we sort of looked around that particular competency initiative. We did this
about a year ago.
No, it was longer than that.
Was it maybe, or
yeah.
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was maybe about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it was before I moved into this
position. I mean, one thing I can say, too, is that, I think we also need to be, you know, honest about courses like 10 by 10. I mean, 10 by 10 is not, and we say this on the website, you know, 10 by 10 alone is not really going to make you an informatician. It's really a broad introductory survey course. You know, in our graduate program, for example, you know, it's the introductory course for which you then go on and take, you know, many, many more graduate level courses. But, you know, it's really meant to provide a broad but really substantial introduction to informatics. You know, why are these issues important? You know, what are the words? You know, what is the language that I need to know, and so forth. And that's really what it accomplishes. I would never make the claim that I've actually seen people become things like chief medical information officers. Of course, there are also people who become chief medical information officers who have no training in informatics whatsoever. You know, and one of the challenges of the informatics field, is as of yet there are no certifications, so literally anyone can be an informatician. There's nothing that keeps you from doing that. So I think we do need to be kind of honest about where all these training activities attempt to lead people. Yeah, sorry.
Any of the same class with the student
You mean the public health? In our graduate program. No, it's actually offered separately. We actually do some things different in the 10 by 10 course, one of which is to decompress the course a little bit. One of the things we learned right off the bat is that week after week, while someone who's in a graduate program, they sort of expect that. So we actually decompressed it where it's basically 2 weeks on, 1 week off, 2 weeks on, 1 week off. So it lasts a little bit longer. I thought you were going to ask whether we mix the public health. The very original cohort, we didn't. But since then, we have. And I actually believe that's been beneficial because I think it gets the two people from public health settings communicating with people from healthcare settings and so forth.
And what job titles are you finding in the public health profession?
Oh, that's a good question. I could actually pretty easily find out because people actually introduce themselves, but I don't know. I can tell you that one of the most common, on the clinical side, one of the most common scenarios of people doing 10 by 10 is a physician who has been made chief medical information officer in his or her hospital, and they realized, oh, there's something I should know about this. I mean, I kind of joke about it being, someone becoming a surgeon and then saying, oh, well, maybe I should go do a residency in this and learn how to do it. It is amazing how many people end up in informatics roles with no formal training. It's actually AMIA that, basically to get the CDC funding, anyone can sign up for 10 by 10, but to get the CDC funding, there's a process that AMIA does. And actually, I don't know, I can't tell you the real details of it. The folks at the AMIA booth can because they do that. But I believe there's an attempt to kind of, they have to fill out a short application, including, why they want to do this and so forth.
Thank you.